Learning to Live. For 40 years, George Lyward has led a community for boys and young men of intelligence who are disturbed, delinquent, or generally unable to cope. It's at Finchden Manor, near Tenterden in Kent. Tonight, David Dunhill attempts a radio portrait of Finchden and of Mr. Lyward's work.
Finchden is a timbered manor house. Not remote, it's separated only by a lawn and some venerable yew trees from the Tenterden Road, and it's only a mile out of the town. There are about 60 boys. Most people there will tell you it's impossible to describe the quality of life they live. Although the place teems with talk, Finchden is deeply suspicious of words. Life there is to be experienced, you're told, not talked about. So I was very careful, and I first asked George Lyward to tell me how it all began.
I was asked to start it by two quite eminent psychiatrists, Dr. Crichton Miller, who founded the Tavistock Clinic, and Dr. John Rees. And I started with only a few people, and it developed and grew. In other words, it never was institutional. It has always remained very much a personal thing. In some ways, I feel that Finchden Manor is a form of hospitality. It's as it were, opens its arms to those who can come to it and accepts them as they are. What I find myself doing is seeing them from the start as very young children who are, for the most part, lonely, with a sense of not being certain as to whether they're wanted, and who, therefore, are glad, for the most part, to accept any group life which doesn't restrict them by rules and regulations, but does keep them firm by what I suppose could be called stern love.
This phrase, stern love, crops up again and again, and particularly when the boys talk about the chief, as they all call him.
Mr. Lyward sort of gives you a choice to start off with, and then he gradually sort of toughens up, which is what he calls stern love, where he says, right, you are not going to do this because it isn't good for you.
Do you do any work here?
Well, in Finchden, you've got a chance of sort of catching up on the schooling you've missed. When you are ready to accept schooling, you really want schooling, you can learn much faster because you're paying more attention to it. You can say, go from the straight sort of duh to a sort of brilliant genius type A level student in about 5 months.
And this can be done for you here?
Yes, it has been done.
A member of the staff, a teacher?
Yes.
One perhaps unexpected thing about Finchden is that several members of the staff were sent here as boys themselves. For instance, Alan, who came when he was 15, and when he left, spent 10 years as a professional photographer. But then he decided he wanted to work among boys, and eventually that brought him back to the place where he's obviously very much at home.
What one does here is a process of living, and the process of living goes on from moment to moment in a way which, if you try and connect it up in an intellectual way or think about it, you'll actually lose the very thread you're trying to keep.
A thread between you and people who look you after, really?
It's more than that. It's a thread of continuity for my own life. It's a thread of continuity of how the other lives mingle, intertwine with it. Here again, if a parent comes down anxious that something immediately should be done for his boy, you have this ridiculous and tragic situation of we're living on one time scale and he's living on another. I mean, the boys here, after they've been here a while, are quite aware that they've got to allow things to happen over a period of years, whereas the parent expects things to happen in a few weeks or months and is thinking purely in terms of examination results and success in jobs and so on, whereas the boy is enjoying the whole business of finding the threads of his own life, threads which he didn't realize existed but always, I suppose, secretly hoped had.
The average person coming here, his immediate reaction is, good heavens, don't these boys do any work? Isn't it difficult for them when they leave here to come down to the realities which are perhaps not represented?
You seem
here
to be suggesting in your questioning that what is here is not quite reality and what outside is. You must have been here long enough to have spotted that something here is more deeply real than outside. And I think even if the boys will try and deny it, they are aware of it themselves. I think this gives Finchton its great strength.
I asked the chief whether this spiritual side of Finchton, which is a vital part, is Christian or whether it's basically agnostic.
It's only agnostic insofar as all religious people have got to say that they don't know. But it's very much, I would have thought, could be very much called religious insofar as it does encourage or does help them to see that the only way you can really live is by faith. And all the psychopathology and all the categories and all the rest of it can't do away with the fact that in the last resort we are confronted minute by minute with the unknown. There is always a danger of, if you say God is love, of saying love is God, which might not be acceptable theologically. This is one of the great issues, isn't it, as to how far you can, at least for young people at the moment especially, who would say that wherever we love, that's all right. But is it?
I mean, they knock at the door and they come in and you can see, I was sitting there and you can see and they come in, they're virtually saying, they say, can I do this? They're really saying, sir, will you love me? Or something.
Well, yes, oh, they're saying that. And I mean, they know that they are forgiven before they have committed the crime.
Hmm.
If that doesn't make nonsense.
A boy doesn't have to be short of this world's goods in order to find himself in trouble. The trouble can be not that he has too little, but too much.
I'm Jewish and we have a kind of festival because of Bar Mitzvah, you know, and you get a lot of money as presents from people you don't know so much, so they're a bit impersonal. And I used to kind of take boys out and I spent something like £150 in a month.
You were buying friendship?
Yes, I was trying to because I thought that I couldn't be myself. I thought they didn't like me for myself, so I'd have to use some other thing. As soon as I came to Finchton, I knew I was going to love it. You know, it's a fantastic place to me. I built it up to a kind of where it probably was too much. And, you know, and then after 3 months, I was accepted. Boys have to test you out and see kind of what you're like.
Did Mr. Lywood test you out?
No, it's not. He's trying to help out.
How's he helped you?
He's brought me up against barriers and helped me over them.
And some people looking at here would think it all looks a bit sort of rough and mucky and you all look pretty tattered. Well, and what do you think about this?
Well, I think, you know, they're just people who kind of say, well, he's wearing the tramp's outfit, therefore he's got a mind of a tramp, which is complete rot. I mean, you know, here we've got people, and if they've done something wrong, that a judge, if he's taken to court, the judge will look at the person as what he's done wrong. But here we look at why he did it wrong and we turn it around and see that, you know, he's got a heart of gold like anyone else, and that was just a misfortune.
Another boy I talked to had been at a public school.
I'm 18 and a half, and I'm the eldest son of a family of one son and three girls. I've been here about a year.
You're a conventional public school boy?
Yes, in the sense that public school boys often try to be unconventional.
Why did you come to Finchton?
Originally, I came to Finchton because I was pissed off at school. And I hadn't done any academic work to speak of since about the age of 10. general apathy, in fact.
If you were at any conventional establishment, you would be cramming this up with subjects.
Well, that's what I was doing before I came here. I mean, I failed 4 A-levels before I came here. Since I've been here, I'd be much better at sussing out things. If someone's sus, it means they have intuition. Seeing where it's at, seeing what is happening. And it's to do with intuition and this sort of thing. But it's way away from the intellect, you see. It's from the heart rather than from the head.
This emphasis on the heart rather than the head is something all the boys come to feel. And Lywood often talks about it in those typical Finchton moments when the boys come and chat about anything and everything, very often over a cup of his delectable China tea.
When you come upstairs to see me, I've sometimes pushed you out, haven't I? I said, get out. Now, what am I doing? I'm safeguarding myself a little, aren't I? From complete invasion. Now, if I allowed a complete 100% invasion, which I allow quite a lot, don't I?
Yeah.
Would I be any use to anybody? Would I be able to do anything? Or would I be able to help you in any sort of way?
You'd never be able to think or do what you want to do, play your piano.
No. It is important. No, it's a very... Where did you think of that one, Nick? It's a very important one.
Just now.
It's a very good one, isn't it? Mm.
The same thing applied when I said just now about Nick goes on saying the same old thing.
Yes.
Now, what was I really saying? I've wanted to say that about you for a long, long time. And I think the time has now come when you can take it.
I just went paranoid.
You went all paranoid, did you? But you've got over it now. Do you see, the most tiring thing is people repeating the same old thing over again. Hello.
But I'm not that repetitious.
Well, you may not be now. Hello, here's another chap. Come along.
It's all very relaxed, but there's always somebody knocking on the chief's door. You could say they're stealing his time, but then his time never seems to be his own.
I have lived for 41 years with thieves. They've either broken the law of the land or they're so maladjusted, as it's called, along with their cleverness, often as a result of using it defensively, that they have stolen in all kinds of ways, some very subtle. When they're very sick and very near to being psychopaths or schizophrenics, the demands they make on one's time and energy, well, their intrusions upon one's private life, make them the biggest thieves of all. Now, it all sounds if I'm up against them, that these modern... I'm not up against them. I think that this is the where they've reached in their reaction against society or against adults and an educational system which tried to shape them without very much regard for what was, as it were, trying from within to give them their own individual shape.
This respect for the individual is the most important thing of all. Jan was a hippie, a drug addict, a Piccadilly squatter. He's gradually learning to find himself.
I was loading myself up of LSD, and so I was sort of in a dream all the time. I wasn't responsible for anything. I mean, I just couldn't do anything. I was like a vegetable. Really, it's not true that LSD sort of expands your mind, because it just turns you into a cabbage if you take it a lot.
Then what happened to break up this vicious circle, if you can call it that?
The second time the police picked me up, I just had a small bit of cannabis, but that was enough for them to put me away, and it was either a Borstal or something, or a Prusk or here. When I came here, I had to adapt myself to sort of new people and people that sort of were different from me. In the end, I just realised that whatever they are here, everybody here really is the same, and so you should just all muck in together and be people.
In learning to live, there's always music, guitars, groups. And some of the boys write and perform their own numbers. Some of them tell you more about Finchton than anything else.
So don't worry if you feel your heart is weak, and the words of love are difficult to speak. For the world is full of trials to overcome, and the song will sound again, and even louder when we've won, and we'll all get together again, and sit in a circle in the wind and the rain with our friends all beside us.